can use an interception. They can use a fumble, something. They need a game-changing play. The rush is coming. He's being chased. He's being sacked. D'Amico Ryans has him.
Welcome back inside the film room on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Bo Wolf and Greg Cosell from NFL Films ready to break down the second tier of wide receivers in this year's NFL draft. Greg, such a deep class that we had to break it up into two segments. So now we're going to talk about the second and third day guys who maybe in other years would be more in the limelight. This year, they're sort of forgotten because of how deep this year's class is. And once again, we want to break it down into three categories. Obviously, these guys are multifaceted more than that, but we're going to break them down into the size guys, the speed guys, and the precise guys, the route runners right, who beat you with their precision. And we'll talk about the size guys first, starting with Jordan Matthews from Vanderbilt, who was ultra productive, but he's got some question marks.
Yeah, and I think it's funny. When you watch Vanderbilt's tape, one of the things that really stands out is how many screen passes he caught. And it was a pretty high percentage, and obviously that inflates the numbers. So for the people who just say, oh, he caught X number of balls in the SEC, that means he's a great receiver. Well, you've got to watch the tape, and you got to see what kind of passes they were. And there were a lot of screens. And I think the thing when you watch Jordan Matthews that teams will have to evaluate, and it comes back to what Chip Kelly said about man coverage. Can Jordan Matthews win versus man coverage? Because when you watch enough tape on him, that pops into your head. You're uncertain. There were a lot lesser type corners. In fact, I remember watching him against UAB, and he was struggling to get open against a particular corner who happened to have been a 6'3 corner, by the way, and I had to look up the corner. I didn't know who he was. But the key thing with Jordan Matthews, can he win against man? Or does he then become a function of scheme, the quarterback making precise throws? If you start to become a receiver who's a function of other things, that lowers your draft value.
You are the tape master, but a guy who stood out to me at the Senior Bowl for his ability to go up and get the ball was Kevin Norwood from Alabama, and you've seen that on tape as well.
No question, and he has really strong hands. I also think he's a really good route runner. I think he understands coverage. You know, very often you play zone, you have to run your routes off the leverage of the immediate defender. He really understood that. He knew where to be. He knew how many yards to run his route before he made his break. He's a receiver, Bo, that's not being talked about much at all. And I think Kevin Norwood has a very good future in the NFL, whether he lines up in the slot, which he could do. He's a big kid. Whether he lines up outside. And again, we're talking about this in part two of our wide receiver discussion. We know he's not a first-round pick, not likely a second-round pick, but I think he's one of those wide receivers who will play in the NFL and be a meaningful contributor.
Two more size guys who plied their trade in college in the Northeast, Devin Street from Pittsburgh and Brandon Coleman from Rutgers.
Yeah, Coleman was a tough evaluation for me. I actually watched him last year after the 2012 season, and I thought, given his ridiculous size, I mean, he might be the biggest wide receiver in this draft. I think given his size, I thought that there were some positive attributes. Then when I watched him this year, I struggled with him. I thought last year he was a draftable player who had a certain role. This year, I struggled with him even being a draftable player, quite honestly, although later in the season, he started to show better movement. The question with players like Brandon Coleman is, how will teams evaluate size? Will they see that as something they can work with in given situations, such as the red zone, such as back shoulder fades, throws like that? But I think ultimately the skill set is a little bit limited. And Devin Street from Pittsburgh, you mentioned, Devin Street's about 6'3", 215. He's one of those long-striding, smooth, fluid athletes, not necessarily explosive. Those guys, and I will admit this, I always struggle to figure out exactly how they fit. Will he separate from man coverage? Does he have the quickness, the short area quickness to separate? or is he more of a rounded off route runner, which there's a place for those guys in the NFL, depending on the offense.
Right.
When you think back to sort of the Mike Martz type offenses where there's more speed cuts and they round off their cuts, is that more the kind of offense that a Devin Street needs to fit into?
As we transition into the speed guys, we talk about Jeff Janis from Saginaw Valley State, who has some size to his credit as well, but he was another guy who stood out at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, and he can run a little bit, and I watched him. And, of course, when you watch Jeff Janis at Saginaw Valley State, you're not seeing him against NFL corners, so you try to look at his traits and get a feel for them. And just the way he moved, and again, I'm always leery, Bo, of doing this, but I want to give people who may not be familiar with Jeff Janis just my sense of the kind of receiver he looked like. He reminded me just in the way he moved of Jordy Nelson, which, again, I'm not suggesting he's Jordy Nelson in the NFL, but I think you can look at him, and depending on what kind of kid he is, depending on where he goes, how he's coached, how he's utilized, I think with his size and speed, he would have a chance in the NFL.
How about Robert Heron from Wyoming?
No, he's not a size guy. He's about 5'9", maybe he's 190 pounds. He's a quickness guy. He's a guy that has some explosive traits to him. That was a spread offense he played in Wyoming, and he lined up all over, both in the slot, outside. He was very good run after catch. He was very good on screens, plays like that. Again, now you're getting into how is a player at that size utilized. See, so much of this, which is why it's so hard to rank receivers, comes back to how they are utilized. How do coaches see them within their offense? Because scouts will often look at measurables. Coaches look at adaptability to scheme. And there's a big difference there, which is why there's often an antagonism between scouts and coaches. Because scouts will say, look at this guy, he runs a 4.38. And a coach will say, that's great, but he's not going to run 40 yards in a straight line. How is he going to fit into my offense? So I think when you start dealing with guys like Heron, who's a little shorter, has some explosive movement, how does he get used in the NFL is the critical factor into whether he's successful or not.
And he's a similar player to Jalen Saunders from Oklahoma?
A little bigger than Saunders. Is only about 165, 170 pounds. Now, Saunders is quick. Saunders won't be able to line up on the outside in the NFL and go up against bigger corners. Just won't happen. Again, now you're talking with Saunders. Is he an Ace Sanders type? The kid who went to Jacksonville last year, who was about 5'7", 5'8", 165 pounds. That's essentially what Saunders is. On the other hand, and again, this is why it's not an exact science. On the other hand, you look at a T.Y. Hilton. 5'9", maybe 180 pounds, maybe. Can you see Saunders being that guy? I guess teams will have to decide that if he's just sort of an Ace Sanders guy who you're going to throw some bubble screens to and get the ball in space, or can he truly line up as a wideout? Because T.Y. Hilton in Indianapolis, he lines up both in the slot, outside, and runs all kinds of routes. So that's why this is really interesting as to how you see receivers in the NFL.
Our last speed guy is Tevin Reese from
Baylor. Tevin Reese is small as well. He's more of a speed guy, as you just said. He can run vertical routes. He can run by people. And I think that when you look at him, will teams see him similarly to a DeSean Jackson, a guy who you can line up and have him run vertically, get on top of people, have to allocate a second defender because he can lift the top off the coverage? He may have that kind of speed, and he had great production in a spread offense where, again, when you play in these spread offenses in college, often you do get man-to-man coverage. The defenses can't allocate a second defender over the top because the field spreads so much with the wide hash marks. So can Tevin Reese be that guy in the NFL? He could be. He can run, and he caught a lot of vertical passes.
All right, how about the players who can beat man coverage because of their route running ability?
Yeah.
And I think we start with Wisconsin's Jared Abrideras, who's as good a route runner as anybody in the class.
Oh, yeah, and when you watch him on film, you know, he's one of those guys you watch on film and you say, wow, he's not really fast, he's not really explosive. You know, you don't look at him and say, wow, this guy's really great. And then you watch him run routes and get open all the time against guys who are going to be NFL corners, like Bradley Roby from Ohio State, who he ate up. And he ate him up with route running. And that's what makes a guy like Aberderis so, so good, is he understands everything about route running. He understands how to use his vertical stem. He understands how to what we call stair step, where he immediately goes vertical and gets a guy on his hip and then breaks. He just has a knack for how to run routes and beat corners who are theoretically better athletes. And he's not small. He's about 6'2". So Aberderis, there's a place in the NFL for Aberderis. Not a great, great athlete, but he will play in this league and he will be a factor.
Another guy who is multi-talented, but we're going to put in this category, is Bruce Ellington from South Carolina.
Yeah, smaller receiver, probably built a little more like a Robert Heron, who we spoke about a few minutes ago. I think Ellington is fast, has good hands, predominantly played in the slot for South Carolina. My guess is, again, now you get down to where he goes, what the coach thinks. He's probably a slot guy in most offenses. Will he be seen as a movable chess piece? That will be a function of team and coaching staff. But I think he best transitions, Bo, as a slot receiver in the NFL.
All right, the last three guys we want to talk about, rather than let me get out of hand by talking about Michael Campanaro from Wake Forest, three guys who stand out to you: T.J. Jones from Notre Dame, Shaq Evans from UCLA, and a guy who's very familiar to Chip Kelly, Josh Huff from Oregon.
Yeah, let's start with T.J. Jones and Josh Huff. When I watched those guys, I came away thinking that these guys are really good route runners, T.J. Jones in particular, and I thought that they would really have nice careers in the NFL working out of the slot. That's where I saw both those guys. Neither one would call as explosive on the perimeter, but they had such a great feel for route running, both against man and zone, getting open, giving the quarterback a place to throw the football. I particularly like T.J. Jones in that regard. He really stood out to me. Shaq Evans was interesting. I watched him some last year as well, and then, of course, this year. And he's another one of those guys. You don't see explosive traits. He's not as big, let's say, as Devin Street, but he's a very smooth guy that after you watch him for more and more plays, you say, God, he's a little quicker than I thought, a little faster than I thought. There's a little deception to his movement. Again, not a burner, but a guy I wonder where he fits, because, and it's why he'll probably be a fourth-round pick or somewhere around there, but he may end up being a little better than people might be slotting him right now. There's just sort of a deceptive quickness to his movement that the more I watched really stood out to me.
All right, well, what is being considered a historically deep wide receiver draft class, broken down by the tape master himself, Greg Cosell of NFL Films. We'll see you later right here inside the film room.
They could use an interception. They could use a fumble, something. They need a game-changing play. The rush is coming. He's being chased. He's being sacked. D'Amico Ryans has it.